Would you ever in your entire life guess that Tracy Morgan owns the Bronx Zoo?
Tracy Morgan owns the Bronx Zoo, dude. Google it. She's like, I don't know what's going on in your life unless you tell me, and that's the way I want it.
Damn, Jasmine, too. Not since Mike joined, have I not?
Yes. I'm done. But feeding the baby and keeping, that's not, I mean, diapers and have become very affordable.
Yeah.
Diapers and baby food. And yeah. You got all that food in your titty, girl. You poor Italian. Welcome to Chrissy Chaos. We're talking about a Italian high diver's butt. We can't find it. By the way, we have everyone here today. We have Michael Shane Cannon.
Hello, brother.
Vito Babymouth Khaleesi and John the Father Grady. We have a sexologist potentially coming in later. So it might be this episode, might be next week's episode. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I'm riddled with anxiety because I have to go to Dubai.
Yeah. How are you feeling about that? Nicole put an over-under on whether or not it happens.
Yes.
Wife Nicole. She's like, I hope he goes. I want him to go. I'm not sure he's going.
I will tell you, it's nothing to do with the good people of Dubai. I like Dubai. I've never been there. It seems fine. I do not want to get on a plane and be on the other side of the world. I don't have any interest in going. Not that I don't like the desert. I'm really genuinely only going because it's Jasmine's birthday.
Sure.
So, like, if it was not Jasmine's birthday, I would have just said no to going.
Does any part of you look at things like this as something you'll be able to talk? Like, you're not even really going to enjoy the experience, but you are going to enjoy the bragging rights that come with being able to say, I was in the Middle East at one point.
What I think I've realized as a person is I like the idea and the thoughts and the anticipation of traveling and going somewhere more than I like actually being there. The only place that I go that's a faraway place that I actually enjoy going to outside of, you know, United States places is London. When I go to London, because I think it's just the way New York, like the people who built New York had come from London pretty much. And they were like, oh, we're just going to make the city that we know here. So I like...
It feels familiar.
Yes, I don't like...
That's why you love Chicago too.
Yeah, I love Chicago. Yeah. I love Boston. I love, you know, Dublin and Belfast. I like Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no desire to go anywhere else. I don't know why. I just don't care.
It's funny how you're like, I like Europe. I feel comfortable
in Europe.
With my own people in Europe. It's anything outside of that where I start to get nervous.
I think that there is a part of me too that no matter what you tell me about Dubai being like, you know, like America and whatever, being in the Middle East just makes me uncomfortable.
You've also gray areaed yourself enough as a potential homosexual for this to be a problem.
Yes, yes.
You know?
And also I think that
You should bring a squirrel suit for any, you know, any nighttime roof visits.
I think I've also, outwardly at different times in my career, just made fun of Islam.
Sure.
You know, and I think there's a part of me, even though, like, you know, you have this spotlight bias where I'm like, I know that nobody gives a shit about me. I know, but I do think, like, is there somebody who's going to randomly see something and be like, that motherfucker's in our country. Let's get him.
Here's the thing, though, dude, is if you become a POW, a prisoner of conflict, prisoner of war, there is no doubt that we would probably trade a war criminal for you, right? If we're giving up somebody like the merchant of death for Brittany Griner, we would give up somebody for successful white male comedian Chris DeStefano.
Who would
a 9/11 story darling Chris DeStefano? Yes. We got to get this patriot back overseas.
Come on. I know. It'd be funny. I wonder, like, who they would give up for me. I wonder, like, who they'd be like, dude, just give us Chris and we'll give you. Who can they give? Just somebody.
What do you think they'd frame you with, though? Because, like, Brittany Griner, whether she brought the weed cartridges or not, like, it's up for debate, I guess, but it's consistent with her. She said she's, like, openly been a marijuana user.
Right.
So for you, say you don't bring anything dirty. You're perfectly within the laws as you're going over there, but they want to get Chrissy D with a believable crime. What are they slipping in your bag that is believable?
Well, no, I don't know that they could slip. I think what they would get me on, it's actually illegal, I think, in Dubai to share a hotel room with someone who isn't your wife.
Oh.
And I put on the forms that Jasmine was my wife, but we're legally not married. So I think like that's something that they is actual like a prosecutable crime
right.
in Dubai. You cannot like dwell with a woman who isn't your wife.
You can tell them though that like Nimesh put his hand on both your shoulders and yeah. said it was legit.
I mean, what is your guys' opinion of Dubai? Would you go? Does it feel like the media says it's safe? It's not like going to Iraq.
I've been there, by the way.
You've been into Dubai?
It was a layover in Dubai, but then I went to like the Middle East. Like I was in Jordan, Kuwait, and Bahrain.
Yeah, no, that I knew, but you were with the U.S. Army, so it's different.
Sure, but I mean, not the whole time. Dude, like often in transport to these places, we were like just in a Hasidic minivan with like a guy that said he was a troop, but he's wearing John's shorts.
Really?
Like a straight up UPS outfit. There's no guns anywhere. We're yeah. just driving through desert as far as the eye can see. The scariest thing I saw my entire trip over there was we're in 360 degree sand, and I just looked out and just 400 yards into the middle of the desert were four men talking. Just nothing around, no cars, no nothing, just four dudes meeting up in the desert. Yeah. It was terrifying.
But you felt safe, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm able to compartmentalize fear in that way where it's like, if I die, I just hope the bomb's right next to me.
Got it.
I don't want to be Lieutenant Dan. I want to be absolutely eviscerated.
Well, somebody said, if you look at historically, a lot of those terrorists, that doesn't happen in the Middle East because right. it happens outside of
totally.
It. But I worry, like, am I going to be the guy that like ISIS storms in and they just behead me? You know? Yeah. But is Dubai just really a lot safer?
I don't think you have literally anything to worry about.
What do
whatsoever.
You think, John, Vito? Is Mike right or wrong? Would you go to Dubai?
I would. My question is there no alcohol there? And can you not smoke weed? Is that
you can't?
Is that
a thing? No.
You cannot. I don't think
people
you,
definitely
I don't think
are,
you can.
I do right? think you can drink, though. I think that they have some sort of like loophole to the law where you can consume alcohol because it's technically like the party spot of the Middle East. So I don't know if it's like you got to pay for it or if it's some sort of, you know, elite tourism package. But I think you could do that.
Yeah.
Weed, for sure. You will get Aladdin'd in the middle of an outdoor shop.
And even though you don't have to, I am requiring Jasmine to cover her head.
Well, I told you Nicole was almost, you know, the subject of an international conflict because in Doha, Qatar, when I went to get our business seats for the way back, the guy was like, "Nice to meet you, Mr. Cannon," shook my hand and then said, "Hello, Mrs. Cannon." And she like grabbed his hand and shook it raw dog. And I was like,
"Now I must kill myself and my family."
Yeah, I thought my wife was going to get declitted 4 days into our marriage.
Oh, she went to Qatar with you? I thought this was the one where she told you she was pregnant with crew and then you went to the Middle East.
So that was another one. I've been to the Middle East twice, actually. We conceived our son the night
you
before I conceived, but I've told this story before, but I was joking and like stealing Valor the entire week before saying I'm deploying. And then literally the night before as a goof, I tapped her ass, said I was deploying and just poofed right inside of her. And then I came home 2 weeks later and she told me she was pregnant. So I am a true soldier.
Yes.
But then this one, Doha in Qatar, that was for our, honeymoon. So we had to stop in Qatar to get to Bali because
oh,
it was
right.
24 hours, but it was like 13 and a half to Doha.
So what did you do? By the way, I've never been on a flight. That's what it is from New York to Dubai. It's 13 hours.
Yeah.
Does it just start to settle in? Like, do you just be like, this just sucks and you deal with it? How did you deal with 13 hours?
I find comfort in knowing that I can't go anywhere, to be honest. Like there's something about that where I have this brain that is constantly thinking everyone is achieving my dreams when mm-hmm. I'm still.
Right.
Like the moment I sit still, everybody is doing everything I've ever wanted with my life.
Right.
So I get worried about that. But if I'm confined, similar with like quarantine, right? When everybody was quarantined and everybody was locked into their home, I was like, this is actually dope because nobody's doing anything. And
right.
this is the ultimate excuse to right. just stand still. And that's how I felt for the flight where it's like, give yourself the green light. You never get to sit still. You never have a 13-hour stretch where you can truly sit on your ass as a father and do nothing but enjoy movies and alcohol right in front of your face with your wife. Just enjoy it, dude. Enjoy that, like, you are more or less unzipping the fabric to this dimension, stepping into a small vacation, and then you can walk right back into the Middle East and perform for, you know, the Sultan.
That's a good point. Did you try to bring weed and edibles into Qatar?
No. If I can't go 2 weeks without smoking weed or doing edibles, then there is a real big problem happening. Yeah. You know, I need to address some serious shit.
Do you? When is the last time you didn't take edibles?
That trip.
So every day since then, you've taken edibles?
No, I think there's been days here and there, and I even take days off.
Right.
Here and there. And leading up to my edible leading up to my special, I got down to 100 milligrams a day, which for me is like pretty good. But I, you know, because I was up into now I'm like back up because after the special, I've been celebrating. So like yesterday, I took 450 throughout the whole day. The day before, I took like 600. Like it's and I'm having fun. Like I'm not losing my mind. It's actually like it's just a better massage.
420, by the way, go see Mike's show in Stamford, Connecticut. Right?
Yeah, we're going back to Stamford, baby. Yeah. I'm making a career out of Stamford, Connecticut. Dude, I'm going to be the Bob Marley of that one city.
I have to be honest with you. I like Stamford, Connecticut.
I love
it's a really cool city. And Mike just filmed his one-hour special. He annihilated. It was really, really, really great.
Thank you, man.
It was really awesome to see our manager, the Italian woman, come over to me and be like, yo, who are Nicole's friends? Just constantly being asked about who Mike's wife's friends were.
Yeah.
She does have very pretty friends.
I would allow one of them to destroy his life.
Yes.
And I know exactly which one.
Oh, yeah. The one who almost destroyed mine.
Listen, I mean, it like that. That's one of those things, though, dude. Where you know, and we'll get off this after. I don't want to celebrate me too hard.
But I'm
just
saying
that like it was just such a fantastic weekend from all aspects. There's so much anxiety leading up to it, as you know, and just you know, the pressure that we put upon ourselves. It's 2 years in the making. It's all of this material. For sure, you get two shots at it, but like. If the first one doesn't go well, then you get one shot at it, and then your whole brain kind of folds in itself. So I'm just dealing in those waters the entire time. And for the night to go how it went with Nicole directing crazy, the whole squad behind it being incredible.
Nicole's wife.
Yeah, Chris producing and coming out and like, you know, almost giving me away like a father with his daughter.
Yes.
To his audience just being like, I believe in this guy. I love this guy. One of my best friends in comedy. He really qualified that several times.
Yes. I gave my bride away to his beautiful black audience.
But it really like, you know, I do want to be sincere. It meant a lot. Like the opportunity and everything that you did for me, it's like, it means a lot. And it's rare and it should be acknowledged whenever somebody has a friend like this. And you're a fucking great dude and a great friend. And I genuinely appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
God, I better not get killed in the Middle East. What are you? Actually, that might be the way to sell the special.
Chris DeStefano's final curtain call. Oh, there it is.
Oh, wow. I mean, what do you think of that? Cecilia Bragantini. I mean, that's Photoshop, you're telling me, Vito?
But that's not.
That's not. That one is.
I prefer the not.
I prefer the not as well. Let's just be honest. I mean, Italian people in general are probably the most beautiful people, right? The men
and
the women.
It's between them and Puerto Rican, which is wild that that's who you've chosen to mate with.
Right.
You guys are going to create like super attractive. You have created super attractive people.
Because like I did a thing yesterday with Matteo Lane, the great Matteo Lane. We're going to be putting out some content where like he's teaching me all these things because he's, you know, beyond talented.
He's a gay Swiss Army knife.
That should be his Instagram handle, gay Swiss Army knife. He can do like, he's so insanely talented. And it was one of those things where we were like changing, you know, because we did a couple of episodes. He was changing his shirt and I was looking at him and I think we've spoken about this before. I was like, I don't think it's gay. If I want to be with him, I wouldn't say that it's gay. It's just I'm with a beautiful, living human being.
Right. It transcends sexuality.
Yes.
It also, and I don't know if you feel this, but I get the impulse to less like to less make love to that person and more like I want to wear him.
Yes.
Like I want to take his body for a spin just to know what it feels like to be that wanted.
Yes. Now here we go. This is a beautiful dumper. She's a beautiful girl. I like her. And then her ass is it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Did you see the guy?
Do you think she has a hairy butt?
I think Italians typically do have hairy vaginas.
She can't because she's a swimmer.
Oh, that's true.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I guess divers, I don't know. They still need the...
You just never know. Like, those suits look like they are, like, painfully put on.
If I was an Italian woman, just for fun, I would name my pussy Vito.
If you were high, that would have been Vegito.
Vegito. Did you see Google diver falling off diving board in front of like, I think it was the queen of some, just diver falling off diving board. This guy, like, in front of everyone, this fucking idiot. It's just an accident. Like, yeah. It was like the opening ceremony. Oh. Yeah, diver slips during the Olympic pool inauguration. Oh, my God, dude. I mean, you know,
that looked like a toddler getting double jumped on a trampoline.
What a dick!
Oh.
But how do you not feel stupid after that?
Right there, that moment, he's just like, well, my life's work is over.
Oh, bro, he did the full Joe Pesci Home Alone, like the,
yes!
The feet above the head.
It's one thing if, like, you make a little mistake and you splash too much, but it's like, this guy fell like a cartoon guy.
This is the best stoppage, though, of those two men just gracefully in the air and him breaking his back on the side of the
Yeah, put it back. Look, get it to that point where, yeah, look at that. Just be- Could you practice that a million times? It's just, I'm sure there was like the diving board was wet. It was like a,
yep.
I'm sure this guy's, I mean, this guy's an Olympic diver,
a
so he's got to be.
Perfect storm of
look
wrong.
At his What do you think you would be like? The other two guys are hysterical laughing.
Yeah. The thing that you have to do after this is like you almost have to make your own t-shirt of you. Yeah. Falling, right? What? Like you can't not show your face. You can't like try to take it seriously. You have to just full blown go into it. I'm the guy that shattered his back. In front of the queen.
Is there footage of him getting out of the pool? I want to see what happened after. What happens at the end?
Him slinking out of the pool. It was probably the funniest thing to ever see.
Just rolling out. Oh my God, dude. Yeah, it's if you don't lean into that. Yeah, let's see. I don't show it.
Dude, God. my dad one time at our town pool.
It was France. It was in front of the president of France.
My dad one time in our town pool, small like backyard private pool, right? He goes under and he's under for a while and he's like kind of writhing under the water. And people are like, what's going on? Like everybody starts like checking it out. And finally it's like 20 seconds or something like that. And the lifeguard's like, I don't think he's coming up. And she's like 16, dives into the water, grabs him, is like fighting like hell to get him above water. He finally just goes, ah, no, I just have a cramp. Yeah. And then had to literally like manatee himself out of water, like pull his fucking fat tits to stomach, to top of thighs up onto the side and then roll slowly. While the whole pool was just watching him.
But he would have died probably, right? He couldn't get up.
You know, it would have been worth it to find out.
Yeah. Look at his bod.
It's great.
I would love to be ripped like that.
Did you ever try to do a swimmer's workout?
No.
In college at Geneseo after basketball, I thought that like my life was going to... I like looked at Michael Phelps in the pool and I was like, that's what I
need
want.
To be.
I want that giant wingspan.
No. Look at his back.
Oh my God. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That's from the lashings from the president after.
Right above below the Olympic rings. This is so fucking...
So the thing is, this is also kind of like, of course it's an all-time embarrassing moment, but it also sets him apart from everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, nobody would know this guy was even a part of that team choreography had that not happened. But now he gets to make fun of himself. He probably has a little like late night career in Italy. Like it comes on, sure. Like, you know, Bart Simpson.
Oh, if this was the States, he'd probably be doing some suburban headliner shows.
He would totally. Be on the
yeah, I'd open for him.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I, what were we saying? We were saying something. I know. I can't think though. Why can't I think? I haven't been sleeping. You know, since Monday, you ever just have this? Since Monday, I don't know why, I've gotten like every morning I've woken up, I've been exhausted.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on? And I'm not eating, nothing's changed about my habits. Could it be the eclipse?
It could be a mental state. It could be anxiety about your upcoming trip.
Right. That's probably what it is then, I think.
Yeah. Well, do you know, so I've been complaining for weeks, if not months, about this sciatica and back pain and all this shit. And I've been doing so much to stretch it out and change my workout and all this stuff. And Sunday morning, I woke up and I'm like, it is 80% gone.
Yep.
I was like, so that was almost entirely in my own head.
Anxiety.
Psychosomatic. Yep. I'm such a piece of shit. It was very real pain. Like, I couldn't move. It also could be the fact that like I'm having sympathy pains with my, who knows if that she's just also pouring estrogen into me through homeostasis, so I am just crying at the drop of a hat. It's
are you getting nervous
house.
Now about do you have you thought about like yet I'm gonna have to go through like diapers and sleepless nights like all over again? Does that excite you? Does that make you nervous? Does it make you happy, sad?
It makes me nervous, but only because it's not here yet. Like, I feel like what it's the same thing as, like, a special or the same thing as, like, going on stage. The worst part is the introduction.
Right.
Like, I equated my last baby. It's like waiting that 9 months for your first child to come is like you're on the side of stage being introduced to go headline MSG for 9 months straight.
Yes.
Like, you're the intro lasts for that long, and you're just like ready to go up on stage. You're like, God damn it, please just let me go up there. Let me get out there. Tell a fucking joke. I know I can do it, but it's all anticipation. But then once you're in it, I feel like it's so hard, so exhausting, and so all-encompassing that you don't really even have time to feel any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think too, because now my Violet, she's three.
Yeah.
She's about to be three.
Yeah.
So like she's
so crazy.
She's kind of like, you know, she's like wearing like, you know, out of diapers, she wears like little like training underwear now. Yeah. Like she can tell us when she's going to the bathroom. Like we don't even use the stroller that much anymore. And like this, there was this whole time I remember when Jasmine was pregnant with Violet, I was like, man, we just got out of diapers and strollers with Delilah. I'm going to have to go through this. It's going to be so long. But like your brain starts to do that. And then like you're just in it and you go through it and you're like, yeah, times are hard at time. You know, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's not, whatever. But then like you just go through it. And now I just kind of realized the other day, I was like, oh, we're through that really hard part. We're almost through.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. When I went through that with Delilah, when we had Delilah, I wanted another child. I really did.
Oh,
I was
like,
I want a sibling. I want her to have a sibling, you know, in addition to my stepson. I was like, I want to have two biological children, right? But now, going through Violet, you know, like with Violet, I'm like, I don't want any more kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, if it happened, we would bless it. But I was like, it's a different feeling now. Like, something, I feel completely satisfied. Yeah. Do you feel that way, you think, with this?
I mean, I am. Nicole's like, in my dream world, I would have a third. And I'm like,
what?
What fucking planet are you living on? First of all, we are very, like, lucky, and you know, the fact that we're 39, 38, she's 38, I'm 39, and we're having a second child. I mean, she's got Tim Burton cobwebs in that clam. So the fact that she's not giving birth to a bat is fucking a victory in and of itself. But you know, that like it I feel like I was reluctant in the sense that I'm worried about the work and all that stuff because of my own personal limitations. I get worried that I'm not going to show up, even though I do each and every time. Like, I just get I get worried about myself, not about what's going to happen, because one, I'm a narcissist, I guess. But two, I also have like complete confidence in Nicole, in my son, and then in us as a family and our like the way we vibe and communicate and shit. So,
yeah, it's these interesting things where like you want to. You know, when you have kids, like it's the anticipation of it all is people are like, I'm not ready to have kids yet. And my thing is always like, if you get a baby, you just become ready. Like, right. Life, you just, I don't know how you figure it out, but you just figure it out.
Well, it depends
on who. It also doesn't cost that much money. People are like, it's so expensive. It's like, it's actually not.
It gets there.
It gets there with school and all that. But it's, I mean, you always have an option for public school. Diapers in the beginning, diapers and baby food.
Childcare. Childcare for parents at work is like,
That's expensive.
That's the major expense.
But feeding the baby and keeping, that's not, I mean, diapers and have become very affordable.
Yeah.
Diapers and baby food. And you got, oh, that food in your titty, girl.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly looking forward to it.
Dude, I swear when Jasmine was first had Delilah, right? Because she had got breast implants or whatever, she couldn't feed Delilah right away. She's talked about this. The milk it just wouldn't produce milk. Literally, even though we live in a world where they were even saying Similac and those types of things might even be better for her brain development. We can make it. Literally, I watched the doctor tell her that she couldn't give feed her baby from her boob, and I watched her look at me, and if there was a gun there, she would have went like this. She would have just been well, then it's over then.
Yeah.
And I can't feed my kid and I'm a baby. So it's this ingratiated nature thing. Is she going to she breastfed Crew,
she did,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, did it kind of, it depends. I fed him from my cock. But
yeah,
no,
arrest him. He's been trying. Arrest him.
No, but we
should do that. By the way, anytime one of us say anything crazy, Vito, can you edit in Ace Ventura going, arrest him?
It's from the second one.
Can you stop that? Is that from the second one?
Hit the light switch, quick.
Yeah. Arrest him.
Arrest him. Then he rolls around, but it's all daylight. To me, and tell me if I'm right, I think that is bar none the greatest comedy sequel of all time.
Yes,
because it's different than the original. It's not a callback fest. They just took the original character, every bit that made it funny, and then put him in a completely different environment and said, hey, Jim Carrey, do Houston Rockets James Harden and just cook. Let's go. We'll release you into these scenes and you do your thing. And it's one of the funniest sequels ever.
Do you know that a lot of that stuff, he had dialogue, but a lot of that stuff was just on the page. Jim Carrey says one word and then you make up the rest. Yeah. All that stuff, him rolling around, director didn't tell him to do that. No. He just did that.
Even the spear thing, throw me a spear.
It's amazing.
It's just such, it's classic.
Vito, Baby Mouth, what were you going to say?
I was going to say Mike, you said that's the best comedy sequel of all time. Do you consider that best sequel or just specifically comedy?
Comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, sequel, weirdly enough, so I have this thing where I rewatch the same movie over and over and over again. And it takes a lot for me to see a new movie because I don't trust that it won't let me down.
It's called being on the spectrum.
Abandonment meets autism, for sure. So I've never even seen Godfather 2. I've seen Godfather 1 10 times. I've never seen Godfather 2. I know it's amazing. I know I'm going to love it. But there's certain things like that where I just haven't allowed myself that joy.
Oh, I wasn't
going
to go there.
I've never seen Godfather 1.
Really?
No shit.
So there you go.
Whoa, why don't we do a? We should do a Patreon.
We should
watch along.
We should watch all the. I've never seen Godfather.
Let's do a Patreon watch along where we have an Italian feast.
Yes.
And we eat
those chicken parms. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, I forgot to tell you the most important part of this podcast. We're coming to you live from Slam Magazine headquarters.
Slam a parm in your face.
Go ahead.
Real quick, best sequel, I think, in my opinion, similar for your reasoning, Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
It's a good one.
It's one, it's more beloved than the original.
Yeah.
It's more remembered than the original. If you're going just quality from 1 to 2, 2 is so much better than 1.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about 2. It gets referenced constantly.
Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill got started in 2. I think, isn't the mom from that, in Abbott Elementary?
Oh, maybe. I don't watch.
This episode sponsored by BetterHelp. Thanks to the good folks at BetterHelp. I certainly needed it after that joke. After the joke that we cut out of the show, I might need to go talk to my therapist because I let one fly and we got in trouble, but we're okay. BetterHelp is going to help me. I love BetterHelp because I used to hate going to a therapist that I had to actually go to. I would talk myself out of it with my anxiety. I don't want to go. I don't want to get in the car and go. BetterHelp was all done online. It's convenient. It's flexible. You just do it.
Well, the flexibility is like my favorite part, because when you go to somebody in person, you then like have to be there.
Right.
So you are with that person no matter what. With BetterHelp, you can actually be like, ah, you're not the right fit for me. I don't like this. And I'm going to go to the next doctor and try to find a doctor that perfectly suits what you're looking for.
Right.
So you don't have to just settle for whatever is out there proximity wise.
Exactly. BetterHelp is awesome. Mental health, it's a real thing. It's a real problem to talk about. And, you know, even if you don't feel like you have mental health issues, you just go talk to someone once a week, get problems off your chest or just get thoughts off your chest. It's great. And you fill out this little questionnaire with BetterHelp and they match you with the best therapist. And right now, you're going to get a nice discount. If you go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/chaos, you're going to get 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/chaos. 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/chaos. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Man,
is Abbott Elementary supposedly a great show? Right, great. I heard it's like fantastic.
I love it. Like, I don't watch network television anymore. Like, that sounds like most douchebags, but it's great. It's funny. It's written really well. The comedy works. Like,
I've just seen clips of Janelle James, who plays does she play the principal?
She plays the principal.
She's so funny, man. She's a great actress.
She's so good, and it's funny. Like, first episode, I think she was putting it on a little too much in the first two.
Sure.
And it's a lot like Steve Carell in The Office, where, like, first episode or two, you're like, oh, they haven't figured it out yet. Trying to find it.
And James Gandolfini, the accent was too much in The Sopranos, and then they get into it.
And she's the best part of the show now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's what happens when you also have to, like, film a pilot. Is one, it's disconnected from the rest of the season. So you're basically creating this character out of thin air, and you're also trying to get it greenlit. So you are throwing 100-mile-per-hour smoke. Yeah, like, you're just overdoing the shit out of it. But then once it gets greenlit into a series and you can kind of get the rhythm of the character and really, like, almost like a vert ramp drop into it, like, that's when everybody just gets better at their character.
And Quinta Brunson, that was, like, the first thing she ever did, right? She created that show.
Oh, really?
Am I wrong on that, Vito? She created that show.
She created it. She writes it.
But I'm saying she wasn't in, like, entertainment really before that, or she was
on BuzzFeed. She was like one of the, like, BuzzFeed sketch players.
Got it. Wow, I love her. I think she's beautiful, Quinta Brunson. Yeah. I like her. Somebody was watching it on the plane going out to Orlando last week, and I was like, I kind of love her.
Nice.
Quinta.
Is she related to the Knicks point guard?
I hope so.
Let's find out.
If you had an opportunity to sleep with Quinta Brunson or Jalen Brunson, who would you pick first and why? Yes.
It's like he's brought me more joy as an athlete in the New York area. It's the most since Eli Manning.
They're third in the East right now, the Knicks, by the way.
Or they might be tied, right? Tied for third with the Magic.
Who do you want them to play? Like, what's your...
I just want them to hold off on Boston as long as possible. So if they can get the second seed, if they get an Eastern Conference Finals appearance, this is the greatest victory in Knicks season history in a long time, because they're without Julius Randle, who will be a driving force in the playoffs. I hope, you know, I wanted him to get traded because I just think that they could possibly fill that with some other pieces, but he's still a major part. And I think without him to make a run that deep, it would be great and possible if they just don't.
Do you
want
to go to
Boston.
The game Friday?
Yes.
They're playing the Nets. All right, we'll go. We'll go Knicks Nets.
I forgot to say this. After the Knicks game this past week, the next day, I'm telling Crew about the game, and he's on the toilet and going to the bathroom, and I keep, like, we're trying to go somewhere and get the day going. I'm like, are you ready? And he's like, I'm not done. It's like 10 minutes, and I'm like, are you done? He's like, I'm not done. And then finally, I'm like, dude, are you done? He's like, I'm done. And I'm like, okay. And I just take them off. I go to wipe them, and I stick my full thumb in a piece of shit that's just ejected from his asshole.
Arrest him!
Like, just a diving board of shit, like an Italian diver slipped off in front of the president. My thumb just went knuck deep right in it. And I was like, you absolute asshole. And he started dying laughing.
I love it. Dude, how about this?
Arrest him.
Vito, at your own knowledge, at your own discretion, when you think, like, we've said something wild, can you always edit? Arrest him.
Yeah.
All right.
I can also, for next week, we can just add it as a drop that we can play when you guys say it in real time.
Arrest him.
I love that.
Wait, can you pull up our notes? Because I want to talk about, let's talk about the eclipse. Quick. I got to be honest with you. I respect it. I respected the eclipse. I really did. After 5 minutes, though, I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, we're here, so it wasn't full.
But what does full that. Mean? Like, did it go fully dark?
Have you seen the videos?
No.
So the videos are like, are cool. The ones in Texas or whatever that show it like blocking full coverage of the sun.
Totality.
It definitely looked way cooler than in New York because we went to the Bronx Zoo and it was a beautiful day. First beautiful day in a while, post special, all that stuff, stress free. The animals definitely sensed something was coming.
Was the Bronx Zoo packed?
No, surprisingly enough,
it wasn't. Why did you pick the Bronx Zoo to watch the eclipse?
We were going there anyway, and then we realized it was the eclipse on the drive. And then so we went to the high school where my wife's mother works, got eclipse glasses, went to the Bronx Zoo, and we're like, hey, if the tigers are going to escape, we might as well be at the forefront.
So wait, so is this in total dark?
This is the day. This is daytime. Yeah. This is like 3 p.m.
This is 3 p.m., so this is, okay, so that's pretty sick.
Right.
So they're standing in full darkness right here.
Yeah.
So you
have
for
us, it looked like a daytime moon. Like, it wasn't right. That cool.
So I would say, though, like, I mean, this happens. This has happened in parts of the world before. Like, I would understand if, like, this happened in ancient times and, like, the king would be like, I have to behead everyone now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I get it because it's so kind of insane.
Mystical.
You'd be like, I have to now kill everything.
Right. Well, I think about that all the time. Like, how did, like, even the first people understand what wind was? You know what I mean? Like, how didn't you just walk around and just be like, what the fuck? Like, there's like an invisible monster hitting my face.
Right.
Everything needed some kind of spiritual attachment or reasoning just for them to be able to get through their day.
Right.
Because they had no explanation for any of this shit.
Yeah, I guess in, you know, these places like, this is totality in Vermont. It was total and fully in Vermont.
Yeah, I'll pull up the whole, there's like a line of totality where it was like Syracuse, Vermont, some other places.
I mean, that literally looks like the Twilight Saga logo.
Yeah. Imagine being born, like, at the moment of the eclipse.
There had to have been somebody
who was just fully born.
So this is the totality pathway.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, it was fun, you know, like, because it was a beautiful day. Like, all the kids were out, you know, got out of school a few minutes early. So, like, we watch it. But, like, even my daughter, after a while, she was like, I don't get what it's supposed to, what I'm looking at. I'm like, well, the moon's going in front of the sun. She was like, oh.
cool.
I also thought it was going to cover, I thought it was going to pass the sun completely.
Me too.
And then when it only made, like, a crescent moon.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed. But it was fun. Me and John watched it together, so it was.
You watched it in Citi Field, right?
We did. That's we went like up on the top deck and just watched it happen.
It definitely got darker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what? It felt just as dark. And we talked about this. It felt just as dark as the day that the sky was orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it pretty much felt like that.
And that was creepier, to be honest. Why was it also Mars because of the fires? Remember?
Right. That's right.
The Canadian
fires, dude, and like breathing that shit in. That like that felt like everybody. Remember that episode of The Simpsons where Selma is dating Troy McClure, and then she switches to cigars instead of cigarettes, and she's like, hey, it's like smoking 10 cigarettes at once. It's like, that's what it felt like to breathe in the natural air in New York that day.
Yeah.
Like, you were truly inhaling just a full pack of cigarettes.
I don't even remember. I've been having trouble with remembering things, like big monumental things, like in my life. Like, I forget, like I was like, you know, I've never been to, you know, a NBA playoff game. And then it's like, I've been to 8 of them, you know, like, but I don't remember it. Do you ever feel like that? Like, you don't remember things that you, like, you don't remember going to a friend's wedding, but you were there at the wedding and they have pictures to prove it. You're like, I didn't go to your wedding.
I'll feel like that for like going to a concert or even like seeing a game or something. I'll like look back months later and be like, I don't remember specific moments from that. Like,
yeah.
It feels like a blur.
Right.
Well, sometimes, and I think this is the case with me, is like, you know how you can set your phone to like delete storage after a month or whatever because you're just filling it with too much shit? That's kind of what I feel about my brain.
Right.
Is that we meet so many new people, we're talking to new people, we're thinking about new ideas, we're doing podcasting, we're saying so much shit all the time that, like you said, it's hard to keep track of both memories and fallacies and, you know, what's real and what's not.
Or like, this happened to me the other day. I saw in my neighborhood a friend that I went to high school with that I used to have lunch with every day in high school. And I saw him and I forgot what his name was and I forgot he even existed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like abnormal? Or no. That's pretty, because then I thought about it, I was like, well, I haven't seen him in 21 years.
Right.
That's a very, very, very long time.
The only reason people expect you to remember that shit is because of social media. Like, I remember specifically when I was like 8, and I was on the subway with my father, and he ran into somebody from high school, and he was like, fucking Gary, I haven't seen you in 20, whatever it was. And like, you know, he told me after, he's like, I didn't remember that guy. Like, it all of a sudden clicked in who he was, but it's just because he had no contact, no social media, no reminder of who that guy was.
Right.
But because Facebook exists, you're supposed to still have this guy's like stats running through the back of your brain. But it's like, no, I've moved on.
I don't know. Well, tonight I'm bringing it up because tonight I think I will remember tonight. Because tonight, I think when things aren't about me, when they're for someone else, oh, yes. Well, what helps me remember things, to be honest with you, is Magic Mind.
Me too.
That's why I think I'll be able to remember most things, is why I'm able.
I like Magic Mind personally.
I love Magic Mind.
I no longer drink alcohol, and right. I'm always looking for kind of like a replacement, something to sip on at parties that's going to make me feel at peace, calm,
yes.
socially lubricated. And that's exactly what Magic Mind does for me.
It's a mental performance shot. And it's helped me mentally so far. And I know it's going to help me mentally tonight because I have a big thing. I'm going to take my daughter to the Benson Boone concert. It is her favorite singer. Okay. It's the only person she's ever really cared about musically. It's her 1975.
That's great.
And so she doesn't know we're taking her. We're saying that we're taking her because she got a good grade on her math test. We're saying that we're just taking her out to dinner, but we're really going to take her to this Benson Boone concert. And we got meet and greets.
Oh man,
so
that's awesome.
We got to get there at 6. He doesn't come on until 10. So that it's going to be.
Oh my God.
So we've already probably said she's not going to school tomorrow, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But Magic Mind's going to help me through it because they give me the magic promise, which is they refund 100% with no questions asked. If you don't like it for 100 days, you're good. They'll give you your money back, clean energy with natural ingredients without excessive amounts of caffeine, no afternoon crashes, no jitters. That's what I need. I don't want to crash because I'm going to have to drive them home. And you can achieve greatness one shot at a time. They ship internationally in over 50 countries. The Magic Mind promise, we promise to only use the world's best suppliers to require rigorous testing of every ingredient sent to us for every production run, to readily provide certificates of analysis for our ingredients to anyone who requests them, to inspect every bottle of Magic Mind by hand, and to test every batch of Magic Mind reproduced in a third-party lab. So that's huge. I mean, most companies do not do that, but Magic Mind does. And of course, you're going to get a great offer for listening to this podcast. They have a limited offer you can now you can use now that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off a one-time purchase with code CHAOS.
Let's go.
CHAOS at checkout. You can go to magicmind.com/ChrissyChaos, put in that checkout code CHAOS, get 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases with that code. I love you, Magic Mind. I love you, Benson Boone.
Highly recommend.
I do highly recommend him.
It's nice. It's like it's a chill vibe.
Yeah.
He looks like a creepier, like Jack Harlow.
He does. And he looks actually like...
He looks like French Jack Harlow.
He does. France. He looks like Tommy Russo, my tour manager.
Yeah.
So she sings him like every day. Like she just loves him. We can't play his music, right?
No. I mean, we can play it, and then the Patreon people, we could do it with them.
Yeah, the Patreon. Yeah, here. I think you've heard his stuff. Here, this will be at patreon.com/ChristyComedy. Watching Delilah, like, be so happy, like, that'll be my birthday gift. I'm like, yeah, that and a fucking trip to Dubai. So, yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I mean, both are equally fulfilling.
Yeah, but that thing is...
Hit the chorus, I knew that song.
Yes.
Yeah,
here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, and, you know... Fellas, I messed this up the last time, and even my dad was like, well, you got to just do it. Yes, I'm taking her to Dubai for her birthday, right? It's big. I have a show and whatever. But you still have to get your girl a gift in addition to the trip. Like, you can't just be like, this is it, bitch. You can't go like this. You have to get her something else. So what do you think should get her?
You should get her a book and then push her out into public and see what happens.
Yes.
She's reading.
Yeah.
Just run away.
Sinner. What do you think? What's a good gift?
Like, what about like a home?
That's true.
Damn.
A home would be a good one. What could I get her?
Is she a jewelry person?
Yeah, but she doesn't. Well, she's got jewelry. She's got like all that stuff. What's like something better? More thoughtful?
Can you upgrade her equipment, like her spin stuff?
No, I mean we put her equipment in our garage, so like she has that.
But can you upgrade it in any way, or is it all like?
Well, she's got like a Peloton. Like she doesn't.
You should get her a full streaming service that can be like 360 set around the bike, so she can just start her own Peloton.
That's good. Mike won.
That's a good idea. But how do I give that to her in Dubai? Should I just pack a spin bike? Maybe I'll give her like,
why don't you buy one of those weird things that like Michael Jackson was randomly buying in the Middle East? Remember that old documentary where he was walking around with Martin, whatever, the British documentarian, and he was literally walking around like Sultan palaces being like, I'll take three of those, I'll take four of those. And it was like golden fucking weird potted plants that you're like, not a human on earth could use that. Yeah. And he's like, I'll take that for $600,000.
I am getting her a camel ride through the desert.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool, right?
A photo. Are you going to have a photographer there?
Yeah. Oh, wait, when is this coming out?
Monday.
Oh shit! I guess the camel ride hasn't happened yet. Then.
Why don't
supposed
you
to happen
propose
on Wednesday?
In the sands.
Arrest him!
Arrest him!
I don't think she's gonna listen to this.
Yeah, she has told me. Not only does she not listen, she doesn't follow me on social. She has no. She is fully like. She's like, I don't know what's going on in your life unless you tell me, damn, and that's the way I want it.
Damn, Jasmine too. Not since Mike joined have I not.
Yes, I'm done.
Jasmine's all the mean comments.
Imagine.
That'd
be great. I would love for her to just fucking let it rip. She would have some. She would. Women just know how to say the things that you are just most embarrassed about. They'll just fucking hit you.
Well,
do
you know why? Because you tell them what they are.
Yep.
And then like absolute sociopaths, they weaponize it against you.
Yep. That's what it is. All right, so I gotta think of something good to get her.
I mean, I do think that if you allow yourself to be to like look at what you've already done, I think that's good.
Well, can you go to patreon.com/ChristyComedy and tell me suggestion gifts, things I could buy in Dubai the day of her birthday? What can I get in Dubai?
What about leave it on the YouTube comments?
Yes, and leave it on the YouTube comments as well. YouTube.com/ChristyComedy. Leave it on the YouTube comments and tell me what gift I'm supposed to get her in Dubai.
And well, obviously this will be out. We won't be able to record an episode before you do it. So you'll give us feedback if you bought anything after.
Yes,
like
I will.
You're legitimately looking for feedback.
Yes.
Well, while you're in Dubai, why don't you do what the Dubaianese do and buy her like something like glitzy, like some crazy pair of glasses,
a bedazzled
jewelry.
Hijab.
Yes, a bedazzled hijab. Yes, yeah. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll put diamonds all over her spin bike. I'll get her a bedazzled spin bike.
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe like one of those like bedazzled microphones. Like I'll just...
like Matt Rife.
Yeah. Does he have a bedazzled one?
No, but he does have the Tony Robbins / Madonna headpiece, and he comes out like he's giving a motivational speech.
I would like to see what it's like to perform with that thing on.
If you did, I would behead you on the spot.
Yep.
I think it's the most insane choice for a comedy show.
Oh, there's a person at my door. Let's see who it is. Who's at my fucking door? Oh, who's this guy? Oh, nobody. Oh, it's just packages. What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Was that a sneeze?
It sounded like Michael Jackson.
That sounded like Mario leveling up. It was like...
God, I'm getting rid of my... I'm trading in my Lincoln Navigator. I got somebody
to take it
on lease swap.
You talked about this on the last episode.
Yeah, so I got somebody to take it, but the guy... And I get it. But the guy is being so fucking annoying because he's like, I don't... You know, all the paperwork's done or whatever. And I get it. He lives in Florida. He's like, you know, you just have to take the car to the dealer and, like, they just need to check it before, like, I fully accept, which I get. I totally get. I just don't have time to do it right now. And he asks me every day. He's like, can this be done ASAP? Can you just do this, please? And I get it. It's like, I should be like, absolutely, because I want this car off my hands. But I'm 1 second away from regretfully texting him, deals off, go fuck yourself. But you know what I mean? Like, he's absolutely in the right.
Can somebody do it for you? Can you just ask somebody to do it? Can John do it? Can John just drive
well,
the Navigator
I called
for you?
Lincoln. Because I have, it's called the Black Label, the Lincoln Navigator Black Label. They're supposed to be, they'll come to you. They're supposed to be from any dealership. They'll come to you and treat your car. That's
but once
like,
you break your lease, they're like, fuck this.
But I haven't broken it yet. So right. I'm like, can you just come check the car, give me some certification? And then like, so because I don't, I can't like go there. I mean, I can, but I just don't want to.
The only reason I didn't volunteer is I just learned how to drive a year ago, and I think your car is just too much for me.
Let me call them.
Okay.
Actually, wait, no, because I'm going to have to give them my address.
This also isn't the place to call them.
Yeah, Jack.
Like, like, I'm all for phone calls during the show, but that's, like, the least interesting thing you can, like,
I just need to plan out the logistics of a car drop-off.
Speaking of calls, should we do a voicemail? Do we have any good ones?
Oh, we have
See, who's good at segues? I'm a professional. John, it's too early in the year for shorts.
Dude, I love it.
Hey, Chris. So I'm 24, living in the city, and I guess I just want, well, I don't know if I want your advice, to be honest. Maybe Mike's advice. As a man, when do you stop being so retarded and so immature? And it just makes dating very hard these days because these boys, oh my God, and I'll go out with boys in New York City and they'll be from like Orlando, Florida, saying shit to me. It's just, I don't know what to do. I'd like your advice because Hinge and those apps suck and meeting people in real life even suck because the boys don't know how to speak. It's as if they're literally mute. So they just stand there bug-eyed. Yeah, so I'd like your opinions on that. Bye.
So wait, so did she say toxic?
First of all, she said she wanted a man's advice and then said she didn't want your advice. She wants Mike's.
And then I like it, it makes me feel weird when people say I'm dating boys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like,
okay. I will say though that like she sounds like a real New Yorker. Like, you know how there's
like her.
You know how there's preservations created for endangered animals. Mm-hmm. There should be like a preservation for that type of New Yorker as well. Like, cause that's running out. Like your right. type of New York, that yeah. like real like yeah. New York cocksucker, like that yeah. kind of like that vibe. And she just has that.
Right.
And I just feel like she needs to be protected. But the moment I grew up was the moment my wife told me I was pregnant. So, or yeah. told me she was pregnant. So I don't know, I guess date somebody and fake a pregnancy and see if that changes things.
You know whose type she seems like? She seems like she is Hispanic.
Yes.
And even though she speaks English, John.
Interesting. John's about the right age.
Yeah.
John's what, 26? How old are you, John?
25.
25. Oh, this girl's 24. She does speak good English, which is a negative for John. So, but I think, yeah, as far as I think she, you're also young. You're 24. So I think the boys you're dating. Your word, the boys you're dating, I think are probably also young. I would go for an older guy.
Yeah. Or just dumb.
Like a guy in his mid 50s.
Like, oh, like fucking Russell Simmons' yeah. daughter. Yeah. Did you see that?
What if we call her and John tries to riz her up on the phone right now?
Oh, give a little riz quiz?
Yeah.
I don't know. She might need some context. It's kind of off the cuff.
No, I mean, you could tell her you're John. You could say, I'm Father John. Jihad John from Chrissy Chaos. I heard you were call. I heard you call.
Call her up.
Yeah, let's try.
Do you Why
want,
not?
Do you yeah. want to do an intro? Though?
Yeah, I'll say. What's her name?
Her name is no name. She didn't give us her name.
Hi. Do you know who this is? KiwiCo. Let me tell you something. I use KiwiCo. Mike, you use KiwiCo,
I do,
right?
Yeah.
Your son. It literally is. They ship activities in crates to your doorstep that your kids love. I mean, what else do you want?
And it's curated to your kids' interests. So whatever they're into, science, outdoors, whatever, any skill set that you want them to develop, you go to KiwiCo, you plug it in, you curate directly for your kids, and they send you the activities.
Listen, each crate is designed by real experts and tested by kids to ensure that every experience is age-appropriate, engaging, and seriously fun. The crates come with everything needed for kids to build, including materials, instructions. We built a pinball machine. We built a lava lamp. We built this butterfly nest. Like things that like it just it, what I love about it is like there's times where like you're sitting at home from school or summer break, whatever, and like the kids will just go on the tablet or watch TV and watch YouTube all day. This gets them off their devices for hours at a time, and then they're learning, you're learning, you're engaging. It's amazing.
Well, that's why it's like we're in an age of instant gratification, right? Everything is just satiated right away. With KiwiCo, you actually put in the work for the process, and at the end of it, you see how accomplished your kids feel.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, there's something to this whole hard work thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, and you're like, I'm a better father than I give myself credit for. Have a beer. Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code CHAOS. That's 50% off your first month at KIWICO.com. Promo code CHAOS. Oh, 516. It's from Long Island.
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up.
Hey, my name's Chris. I'm 27 years old, and I'm so immature. I am just the most immature guy you'll ever meet in your life. I haven't... somebody just texted you. I haven't... What did she say? What did she say? Oh, all the boys just stand there bug-eyed. Yeah, well, I'm bug-eyed Chrissy. No, hello. I don't know what. I just wanted to call and say thank you for your voicemail. And I think that you need to date an older man. We were suggesting a guy in his mid-50s we think would work for you. And if not, if you want, we do have a man, your words, who is your age, 25 years old. He works for the podcast, John the Father Grady, Father John Grady, Jihadi John, who would like to potentially go on a date with you, but he is a little concerned that you speak English too well. So if there's a way that you could come with an accent or speak another language, we think we might have the guy for you. Thanks for being a part of the Chrissy Chaos podcast. Bye.
I do think that's good advice, though.
Yeah.
Find a single dad.
Yes.
Like a dad that has a kid because the mother lost her mind.
Yep.
That's your best bet.
That's the best bet. All right. We got any other voicemails?
Yeah.
Or is that? All right.
You want to wait? Do you want to do mean comments? And then
let's do mean comments. And then, before we get to mean comments, tell us about the Bronx Zoo fun facts.
Oh, dude. So we went
this
to the
Bronx. This is wild.
This is wild because so the Bronx Zoo, we went, and I've known this for a long time.
Ask them. But who do you think owns the Bronx Zoo?
Yeah. Who do you think?
The state.
Right. I don't know. That's a reasonable guess.
Yeah, I mean, like
if, the city,
if I
maybe.
To, if I had to give a different guess, like the World Wildlife Foundation.
Sure, right? Would you ever in your entire life guess that Tracy Morgan owns the Bronx Zoo?
Tracy Morgan owns the Bronx Zoo, dude. Google it.
Is this post Walmart?
I don't
know.
I think it is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's what he said. He said he used the Walmart lawsuit money to buy the Bronx Zoo.
I mean, what a purchase. I think that's actually the best purchase money could buy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, does any other comedian own, like, 3 tigers and 4 lions?
Byron Allen owns the Weather Channel.
What?
Yes.
I mean, that's crazy,
from Comics Unleashed.
Yeah. He also owns the Masters to, like, every Richard Pryor special.
Yep.
That's how he's made so much money.
Good for him.
Who told you this?
Google Tracy Morgan owns the Bronx Zoo.
Owns the Bronx Zoo. It's a fact.
Tracy Morgan owns the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah.
Google it.
It's wild.
Boom. Yep. Tour of the Bronx Zoo. It's been revealed a comedian used the settlement money he received to buy the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah.
There you go. Boom. Top acting, 10 acting.
Unbelievable. Isn't that cool? Because I was looking, I was like, who the hell owns this place? Like, what is it? It just seems like a city park. But I'm like, is that where the new below 60th Street toll money is going? I doubt it. So I looked it up, and it's fucking T. Morgs from 30 Rock. It's unreal. And on top of that, so the other fun fact that I had, and this is less fun but more fact, is that there was a human exhibit at the Bronx Zoo as recently as 1906, a pygmy man named Ota Bengay was in a cage next to other animals, I think also in a cage with other animals, and they gave him a bow and arrow so he could live hunt in front of onlookers and instead turn the arrow towards the spectators and would try to shoot them. And then eventually they're like, wait, guys, this is like decades after slavery. We probably just shouldn't have a guy in a cage, like, you know, just for people to look at. So they put him in a suit, kicked him the fuck out of the zoo, gave him no kind of reintroduction into society, and then he flat out Brooks was heared himself in some, you know, hotel in the Bronx.
There you go. Love it.
Tough.
Can I ask you guys a question?
I don't want to ruin your fun.
It's not fun.
But he doesn't fucking own the zoo.
Yes, he does.
Vito, he owns the fucking zoo.
He doesn't own the fucking zoo.
Yes, okay. He does. What, does he not, John?
That's what Google said. Complex.
So where are you saying?
I don't know if I'm ruining a bit. Like, if I'm ruining a bit, tell
you're
me.
You're not ruining a bit.
I promise you he owns the zoo.
It was a fucking Jimmy Kimmel bit.
No.
No, yeah, I think no, he really bought it. Well, no, that's it. The thing that, because we just saw the YouTube with the perfect cover photo with him and Jimmy Kimmel saying, I bought a zoo, that does kind of throw, that throws a little bit of a wrench into my rationale. But I do, but real like news results came up as like the official owner.
And they all led to the Jimmy Kimmel video.
Oh.
Can I ask you guys a question? Can you Google Emirates flight?
Bro, stop using the podcast and just fucking do your, like, daily chores.
No, because I want you to ask. I don't know if my flight leaves at 11:20 in the morning or 11:20 at night.
So you want everybody to know your flight information that listens to the podcast.
But it's just the flight.
You gave the full flight number.
So you want people to be able to track your flight like fucking Taylor Swift. You want to
I don't, like... It's very confusing.
I'll look it up for you, but I'm not going to put this out.
Is it
a Boeing?
What's the flight again?
No, it's... okay. Dude, well, put this on the Patreon.
The actual fear in your eyes when I ask that question.
It departs at 11:20 a.m.
11:20 a.m.?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Not p.m.
From JFK, yep.
Got it. I was fully prepared to go at 11:20 at night.
Dude, you are legitimately my favorite human on planet Earth.
I'm an idiot. And then we get in at 7:50 in the morning, not at night.
Wait, sorry. What day is your flight? Because that's today. That's the flight number today.
No, but it's the same flight every day. Hold on. Let's.
Dude, if this flight is fucking taking off right now.
Context, it's 11:07 right now.
I gotta go, dude. April 14th is the flight.
Okay.
But so I'm leaving at 11:20 in the morning.
Yeah. Now, do you see how you confuse those two things and that's like an easy mistake?
Yes.
Do you see how one could maybe understand that Tracy Morgan didn't actually buy a zoo?
Right. I don't believe it, dude. Check it out. Let's check for real.
How about this? How about we go to Wikipedia?
Where's the Library of Congress? Do they have this information?
Go to Wikipedia. I'll look up Tracy Morgan and see if his name pops up anywhere on the Bronx Zoo Wikipedia.
Okay. All right. I don't know why I'm really going to bat for T. Morg so hard, but I really just want him to own this zoo.
All right. Here I am on Wikipedia.
Okay.
All right. I've pressed Control F. I'm typing in his name.
Sure.
C-R-A-C-Y.
EY?
Put in E-Y. Bronx Zoo Morgan.
Morgan, nothing.
Does Tracy... Siri.
Maybe it's not updated.
Siri, does Tracy Morgan own the Bronx Zoo? Hello, Siri. Does Tracy Morgan own the Bronx Zoo? How do you do Siri?
You weren't even doing it.
Why is it not working?
Hey, Siri. Does Tracy Morgan own the Bronx Zoo?
Yep.
What is it, like? What? How do you use Siri?
I don't know. Who is that?
That's.
Doesn't this look like a Jimmy Kimmel sketch?
That's also the Central Park Zoo.
That's the seals at the Central Park.
Yeah.
Zoo.
Okay, so it was a lie. She's here. The sexologist is here.
All right. Oh nope, that's the Bronx Zoo.
Sexologist is here. She's going to be on the next episode.
I didn't want to ruin the fun.
It really.
I didn't want to ruin the fun, but here's the thing. If
I appreciate the fact.
If I don't say it, you know what happens?
I spread it.
You know what happens? No. Everybody comments and says,
right.
Your producer's a fucking idiot. Yeah. And didn't tell you.
Yeah.
So I would love to live in a world where we could all have fun and live in a fantasy world where we pretend and have fun. But these people ruined it, and I think that's a perfect time to go into mean comments.
Good point.
Yes.
But
what's the other fact about the Bronx Zoo?
It was the Ota Bengay thing. That is a real fact.
No, that was great.
That is real and
Ota
also
is great.
Really sad. Yeah. Really sad stuff. And I've said it on multiple podcasts, so if you're going to yell at me that I'm recycling stories, I'm sorry, but it's just a fucking fact that nobody knows about, and it's insane.
Yep.
Insane in the membrane.
Arrest him.
Arrest him.
Arrest him. Come on, let's do mean comments. Ooh, you're mean. Ooh, welcome to mean comments. Yeah, mean girls. From CCCCTT3737, Chrissy Clubfoot, your humility is strong. Thank you. I appreciate it. I do have a clubfoot. Yeah. From at FNPM, Chris, have you got Tourette, early Parkinson, ADHD, or just on drugs or what? It seems like you have some constant tics and the whole body going on in every video I see you. Please take care. It's just coffee and pre-workout.
And anxiety.
Yeah.
Let us rock.
Yeah, it's called being a white man in today's America.
I wonder if a camera was on you at all times, if we'd notice anything weird.
Pussy. At Dimebagger, Chris, why are your legs so bald? Is this on purpose? They were burned in a fire.
No. Do you have bald legs? I have one patch that's bald from like constantly rubbing.
Yeah.
No, but I could see
some hair.
Bro, when I was big, I would get it like one side of my leg would have no hair and up on my thighs would get no hair because it would be rubbed off.
I just have hairless. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Well, just finishing up.
Our friend Chantel, the sexologist, is here. Is it Chantel?
Chantel.
Oh, I love it.
This is from Dorab2402. I don't hate Mike in this one for some reason.
There you go. Sunshine. That's nice. Getting
there we
better.
Go. Winning Here's Dorab.
From Alicia in Bloom. Why do you guys keep letting him show his feet, please? Well, because Vito has a fetish. And that at El Deuterino 9097. I feel dumber after listening to Chris. Thank you. Appreciate it. At Jugabelly 9255 at 43 minutes and 12 seconds. LOL, Chris has Puerto Rican Tourette's. I don't know what that is.
I knew what they were
Puerto Rican
about.
Tourette sounds like merch. Okay, here we go. This is a good one. At Excellent, EGGCELLENT-LM5SV. As the years have passed, and the more I have heard about your life and the people you support, hang out with, and praise, even though you know that said people are terrible humans, has now made me believe that you two are terrible. I've lost all respect for you. I used to enjoy your content, but now I have absolutely no interest. It seems that for the most part, comedians are just horrific humans with psychopathic tendencies and have developed being funny so that they can get attention. Correct.
What? I mean, in what world were you under any other impression? Why does that? And that's what comedy has always been.
Yes.
Is psychopaths.
Here we go. At Yes You, Chris is a hack and he's just annoying. Now he wants to be this enlightened person and just comes off as sounding dumb and needy. And then I wrote, do I look jacked though? That's all that matters. So that's it.
That's it. That's
Those are the comments.
That's the meme comments.
That's the meme comments. I'm in Dubai right now. Come to the show tomorrow.
Leave comments with what Chris should get Jasmine for her birthday.
Yes, what am I supposed to get Jasmine for her birthday in Dubai? I'm at the Dubai Opera House tomorrow. So come, ChristyComedy.com. And then in June, June 2nd, we've added Amsterdam, London, Manchester, all these shows. They're all almost sold out. So go to ChristyComedy.com. And you know when I say they're almost sold out, that's a lie.
MikeCannonComedy.com for my tickets. Emmaus, Pennsylvania at the end of April with Michael Feeney and Brendan Sagalow. That'll be very fun. Going to be in Poughkeepsie. Going to be in Nashville coming up. I'm going to be in a bunch of places all at MikeCannonComedy.com. New material, so it's going to be bad.
And just give people an update on which European shows aren't happening because people keep asking.
So I still don't exactly know. I don't think Dublin is going to happen. I don't know, though, because we are trying to fit the shows that I had to cancel because I forgot about my stepson's graduation. We are trying to fit those shows into the week before. So I still don't have a full update on what's canceled and what's not. Just hold on to your tickets for now. One way or another, they'll either be refunded. You can have your full money back or you can just, I will make the shows up.
So that's a good note. If you have tickets to the show, maybe the week before.
Hold on. Yeah, it might be the week before. And then all tickets will be good. But it is chaos. I don't know. And I'm sorry that this is happening. But I, once again, made a mistake and it's all my fault.